As we think about the struggle that the nation is going through and is going to continue to go through, we can see a systematic attack in three different levels. First, they attack God and the Scripture, wouldn't you say? Taking God out of schools, undermining the authority of Scripture. Number two, you see them attacking the family, trying to decide what is or is not a family, and taking it out of its biblical context. And now we see the third level, the deepest level of the attack, is actually attacking the gender, the very issue of gender. Is there male and female? Is there such a thing? Of course there is. That's the way God made us. And friends, today I know the women are going to be out of town, so I took this opportunity, and ladies, don't check out. This is good for you to hear too. But I want to take this opportunity today, and I want to challenge us men. I want to challenge us men to become the men that we need to be in this nation. Because I believe the attack is going to continue to attack the family and attack men directly. And are you aware that any given day on Sunday, that 61% of the population who comes to church is female, 39% is male, on average, on a good Sunday? Do you realize there's 113 million men in America over the age of 15? 69 million of these men, 69 million, have no profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And the truth is, and it's hard truth to understand, ladies, don't misunderstand this, but when a mother comes to Christ, her family joins her at church about 17% of the time. But if a father comes to Christ, his family follows him 93% of the time. The importance of a man leading his family to Christ cannot be understated. 95% of men say they don't have any friends at all. Over a third of men in church say they have no friends. Well, you need to come and become a friend. You have to be a friend and bring a friend, you know? In fact, Sunday, 25% of women come to church without their husbands. And we appreciate you, ladies. But this is the tragedy. This is the difficulty. How are we going to stand in this nation if men don't stand up and take responsibility? In fact, he says the midweek activities, approximately 70 to 80% of the participants are females. That means you may get men to come on Sunday, but many men do not want to be involved throughout the week. They don't want to go to a small group. They don't want to be involved. Now, this is not true here. I'm so proud of our men here. Come on, give yourselves a hand. But I'm going to challenge you, and I want us to realize that it's not just us here, but other friends, other men that we know need to be in church, need to be part of it. More statistics right quick. As many as 70% of men have actively sought out pornography this year. 93% of all people incarcerated are men, and 85% of them had no father figure at home. A direct correlation between fatherlessness and incarceration. It is so clear. Absent fathers are part of the big problem. 33% of the 72 million children in America will go to bed tonight without their biological father. One-third of all children in America will go to bed without their biological father in the house. What's more alarming is the problem is even worse. According to the latest research, people have 72% say that the absentee father problem is the number one issue in America, and I believe it is. An estimated 24.7 million children live absent their biological father every day. And then one last thing. This is from a Hartford study. Said, you can correlate the health and the harmony and the growth of a church to the amount of men they're involved. It's an extensive research. It says churches where men are involved will be growing and will be healthy. Meanwhile, lack of male participation is strongly associated with decline. And again, women, I appreciate you. Y'all have to carry the ball so much. But men, it's time we take responsibility. You know, when I was in graduate studies, we had a little issue come up amongst the graduate students there, and I got taken in the principal's office. my director, Dr. Galloway, brought me in his office, and he was asking me about the situation. I kept saying, yeah, but it's not my fault. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I didn't do this. And he gave me some powerful advice that I want to pass on to you today. He said, Michael, cowards blame. Leaders take responsibility. He said, you know, I'm really not worried about who did it. I want to know, what are you going to do to solve this problem? How are you going to take responsibility for this problem, for your life, to move ahead? Men, we have to be courageous. Men, husbands, and fathers. If we're going to stem the tide of where this world is headed. A couple of years ago, 2011, a wonderful movie called Courageous came out. How many of y'all saw that movie? Man, I just love this last scene. I want you to watch this again. And then we're going to look at the resolution that comes along with this today. I can't think of a better way to introduce this idea than to going back to this movie. So let's watch it.
I now believe that God desires for every father to courageously step up and do whatever it takes to be involved in the lives of his children. But more than just being there, providing for them, he's to walk with them through their young lives and be a visual representation of the character of God, their Father in heaven. A father should love his children and seek to win their hearts. He should protect them, discipline them, and teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect. And should call out his children to become responsible men and women who live their lives for what matters in eternity. Some men will hear this and mock it or ignore it. But I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence he has given you. You can't fall asleep at the wheel, only to wake up one day and realize that your job or your hobbies have no eternal value, but the souls of your children do. Some men will hear this and agree with it, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunity to leave a godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers did not do for us, we'll give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are and to teach our children to do the same. And whenever possible, to love and mentor others who have no father in their lives, but who desperately need help and direction. And we are inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because by God's grace, I will. You don't have to ask who will teach my son to follow Christ, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting my family? I will. Who will ask God to break the chain of destructive patterns in my family's history? I will. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? I am their father. I will. I accept this responsibility, and it is my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and his blessing on my home. Any good man does. So where are you, men of courage? Where are you, fathers who fear the Lord? It's time to rise up and answer the call that God has given to you and to say, I will, I will, I will.
I love that scene. Father God, this morning, as we come to this important topic, as we come to this convicting topic, Lord, I pray that all of us would hear your call today. That, Lord, especially the men amongst us, would rise up, O men of God. Be done with lesser things. And Lord, we would see our responsibility for ourselves for our families, for our community, for our church. You have called us. You've given us authority. We need to claim it, and we need to walk it. Father, I pray the words of my mouth would not be my words, Father, but your words spoken through me. And each of us here today may receive the message you would have us to receive. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You see this insert in your bulletin is the resolution that came out of this video, this movie. And I want to connect it with a scripture. If you have your Bible, turn over to 1 Corinthians 16. In 1 Corinthians 16, we see the one time this word is used, where Paul challenges his men. And basically, the word in modern language would be, man up. Man up. Stand up for who you are as a man. We don't have to be ashamed of our gender issue. We're not putting anyone else down. We're accepting our part of the responsibility as a man. Man up. And I pray that as we go through this resolution and this scripture together, the Lord of God will just lay on your heart things that you and I want to begin to work on. Because all of us can do better in all of these areas. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Paul writes this word. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong and do everything in love. So I want to look at this. First, to me, this resolution talks about to lead myself. We have to take responsibility. Or this Joshua 24:15 scripture, so powerful. As for me and my house, what is it? We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Take responsibility for yourself, as for me, and for your house, and for my house. What you've given me, Lord, I will take responsibility. We will follow the Lord. This resolution begins with this same idea. Somebody read number one. Who's got number one out there? Just stand and read it out. Thank you. I love how this resolution begins right where Scripture is. He says, I resolve to take responsibility. Look at these words he used here. First, he said, verse 13, and you'll notice these are actually military terms. He is treating this as a soldier in battle. And he says, first, be on your guard of what I have here. Be watchful. Always be prepared. Always be ready. You can't fall asleep at the wheel. You can't forget to look around. The very idea of being watchful is that you are aware and connected. Here is where we fall into trouble, men, as we get so involved in our own things or so involved in life that we disconnect from our family. We disconnect from our own heart. To be watchful means to be connected and aware of all that's going on. Number two, stand firm in the faith. I put on your outline, be committed. Because really it's talking about in military terms, don't break rank. Don't leave your post when the enemy comes. Don't break with your brothers. Don't run away and hide when things get tough. Commit yourself to it. Commit yourself to your family, to your responsibility as a man in the home. We have to stand firm in this faith. Stand firm in the ranks of our Christian faith. And then here's the third word is be men of courage, or it's really be brave. Androzomai means, it's the only usage, and again, it means to man up. Be a courageous man. It means not to flinch. I mean, literally, it means don't flinch. When the enemy comes, don't flinch. Hold on. Be brave. Suck it up. Be a man. Man up in this. And Paul says to us, we need men of courage like this. Be a man of courage. And then the fourth, he says, be strong. Be strong here means to maintain your courage no matter what. The problem is so many can be strong for a short time, but this kind of be strong is over the long haul. Keep on being strong. Keep on persevering. Keep on hanging on. As Mike and I were talking before the service, he was talking about the Indians and how they would drive a stake in the ground, and they knew, hey, that's my territory. I'm not leaving this stake. This is my place. I don't care what enemy comes. I don't care what happenings. I'm not leaving this place. It's exactly what he means here. Drive a stake. Drive a stake in the ground. This is my family. This is my responsibility. This is my church. This is my community. This is my job, my responsibility. I will not fail, or I will die doing so. And then verse 14 is one of those, if you ever have to memorize a scripture, they say, hey, what's the scripture you memorize? Everybody says Jesus wept, okay? That's the easy one. Well, here's another easy one, all right? 1 Corinthians 16:14. Do everything with love. Isn't that easy verse? You can memorize that right now. What is it? Do everything with love. There you go. You just did it. 1 Corinthians 16:14. But the challenge of this, it's easy to say, but it's a lot harder to do, right? Because this word love here is the word agape. What does that word agape mean? It means to love and not expect anything in return. Basically, what he says at the end here is give yourself away. Live for others. You see, as long as you try to take your responsibility and try to get your stuff out of it, as long as you're trying to hold on to your identity and all your rights and privileges, you cannot fulfill this call. Because this call, our family, our church, our community, requires us to give ourselves away in everything we do, to do it with the kind of love that Jesus had for us. Remember, agape comes from the cross. This is a new Greek word that did not exist until Jesus' day. They were trying to describe what it was that Jesus did on that cross. He gave his life and expected nothing in return. And that's the same commitment Paul is calling us to here. I believe the Holy Spirit inspired him to say that we need to be men of courage, be watchful, be committed, be brave, be strong, and be always giving ourselves away. You see, you got to lead yourself. We have to lead ourselves. You have to take responsibility for our lives, who we are, and where God has put us. Now, the second thing on this outline, and again, we have a lot to talk about here, but secondly, I believe this resolution talks about lead my family, my home, to lead my home. Somebody read number two. I love number two on this list.
I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leader at my home.
Thank you. Man, one of the greatest things, I really want to preach on this sometime. We need to come back to this again sometime, because I tell you what is lacking in our homes, many of our homes today. And it's what we call a safe environment. Our families, our kids don't feel safe. And I wish I could tell you that they're afraid of the outside influences. But I tell you what they're feeling is a tension about the inside influences. And sometimes it's us, the very men in the house, who are the overbearing, the scary ones, the ones that are abusing and verbally using language. Our job is to love and protect our families. In fact, the word that comes to my mind is the word shepherd. We are called to be a shepherd of that flock. Just as the shepherd defended its flock, loved its flock, gave his life for his flock, protected his flock from outside, also had to deal with issues on the inside of the flock. We are called to be shepherds at home. Luke 11:21 says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. Our family are looking to us to protect them and give them a safe space inside where they're not threatened inside. Number two, Somebody read number three on this resolution.
I'll be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me.
There's no greater thing that a man can do in his home than love his wife. And notice the word is not love here. What is the word? I will be faithful to her. It's a sad reality that we face in our modern world. How many families are being broken by unfaithfulness? Ephesians 5, 25 through 29 reminds us, it says, husbands, listen, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for it just as Christ does the church. Men, we have to fight the temptation of unfaithfulness. Like I said, I know pornography is a real problem for men. Lust, temptations, those are real problems that we face. It's not a simple answer to you. Except I would remind you, remember the consequences. Consider the consequences. You're thinking maybe that you're getting away with this thing. No one gets away with it. We all lose because somebody is always watching. Who is that? The Father in heaven. He knows our struggle. And he will help you. He will help me. Hebrews 13, 4 reminds us, marriage should be honored by all. And the marriage bed, listen, the marriage bed must be kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Can't tell you how many of our problems in the family are self-inflicted wounds because we have allowed ourselves physically and sexually and emotionally to be unfaithful to our wives. Somebody read number four. Let's go to number three. Number four on the list here.
I will bless my children to teach them to love God with all their hearts, all their minds, and all of their strength.
Not only do we have to be faithful to our wives, I like this wording, but he said, I will bless my children. Now, this is actually an Old Testament picture. When a father would bless his child at the day of accountability, his father would lay a blessing upon him. You remember these in the Old Testament. People would pass on a word of blessing, a word of authority to their sons. They would bless their children, and they would teach their children. I love Deuteronomy 6. These commands that I give you today are to be on your heart first. But listen, then you should impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Men, our responsibility is not to just push off the teaching to the church or Sunday school class, but it is our responsibility to teach our children the scripture. They can learn it. But again, he says it's got to be on our heart first. But once it's on our heart, we need to teach it. And I would remind you, you can talk about it all day long, but it's going to be in the relationships. You see, he's talking about when you sit down and when you rise up and when you're walking around. I said the best way to teach Scripture is as you're going through your life. You don't have to sit them down in one kind of moment and say, all right, let's learn the Scripture today. But as we go through life, as we rise, as we sit down, as we go through life, hey, what does the Bible say about this? What's a good scripture we can learn here? See? It's our responsibility to bless our children and to teach them the word. And Ephesians 6, 4 reminds us, says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Anybody ever done that? I have. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We have a lot of children that are exasperated with their dads. Like I said, I love my dad, but man, I didn't even hear the word I love you until my 30s. He was just incapable of saying those words to me. And men, you know how important it is to hear those words from your dad. Well, we also need to say those words to our kids. Now, it's funny, I told people the other day, he became a Christian, and I come home from college, and now he's clinging on my shoulder, he's weeping, and he's saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. I said, man, where was this guy when I was younger? But, you know, Marines are just that way. He never heard that as a child either. But to bless and teach our children is our responsibility. And then I love number five. Number five is so timely for today. Somebody read number five on the resolution. Wow. Is that not important for today? Train them to honor authority and to live responsible lives. Proverbs 8:14, counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power. If you'll teach them how to do things, they will have power. They will have insight. They will know how to live. Hebrews 13 says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. Paul's talking about pastor leaders and people in the church. But to be able to honor authority and to live responsibly. And unfortunately, the best way to learn that is by example. How can we say, you have to honor authority if we don't honor authority over us? How can we tell them to do something? Do as I say, but not as I do does not work. Because our kids are going to be a direct mirror of what we live. And then to lead myself, to lead my home, then it goes into my community. Somebody read number six. Number six on the resolution. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. Very good. Thank you. This comes from Micah 6:8, where it says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Beautiful passage. We're to be a truth agent. To confront evil means that you reveal what is right and what is wrong. To pursue justice means that you have to let people know when something is not right in the community, how it's being done. To love mercy means that you truly care about those who are not being properly treated. This is something we, as fathers and husbands and men, that's part of our responsibility. Number seven. Somebody read number seven.
I will pray for others to treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion.
Prayer for others. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We're always concerned about others, praying for them. And actually, learning and living an other-centered life is part of our responsibility to pass that on to our kids and our family. Number eight, very important today. Who's got number eight? Go, Joe Michael. I will work diligently to provide the needs of our family. And again, we need a whole message on this, the whole idea of work, how important it is that we have a job. I mean, when God created Adam and Eve, did he say, hey, hang out. You don't have anything to do but just hang out here and enjoy. No, he said, work it, work it. Work the land. Make it happen. Take this and multiply it. Work is beautiful. It's important to us. Proverbs 13 says, a sluggard's appetite is never filled, but his desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. And then Proverbs 14, a hard work brings a profit, but a mere talk leads to poverty. A lot of people talk a big talk, but we need to be walking a big walk. Number nine, look at this number nine resolution, so important. Wow, thank you. This root of bitterness in so many men, so many people actually, not just men. But this root of bitterness gets up in us because we've been hurt. And it results, at least in men, more prominently in this anger issue that many men have. And you want to go back and look at their lives. But here, he uses that word forgive and reconcile. This is a tough one, but listen, Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Listen, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Look, we've been forgiven. We've been reconciled through Jesus. Man, we need to take responsibility to forgive others, because you cannot lead your community if you're bitter. If you've let this bitterness become an evil root in you that turns you against people, and it will, we become a slave to it. Number 10 on the resolution. Wow. You know, guys, to be able to learn from your mistakes, you know what that means? We have to admit that we made a mistake sometimes. We might have to say, I'm sorry. But I love this word. What's the answer? It's called repent. It means turn from something and turn to God. And then to walk in integrity. My goodness, another whole sermon needs to come out of here. Integrity is the person you are now is the same person you are everywhere. You don't come to church and put on your fancy church face. No, you're the same guy everywhere. Matter of fact, integrity is who you are when no one's looking at you. That's who you really are. In our private time, if we look at ourselves and can say, you know, that's who I really am. We need to repent and walk in integrity. Acts 3:9 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Basically, your reputation will precede you. Your walk in integrity will be proven by your reputation. And then the last bit, the last two, is to leave my church. Men, let me just say this to you honestly and openly. We need you. Wellspring needs you. The Church of Jesus Christ needs you, wherever you are in this world. Men, there's no reason that women should be 61% and we should just be 39% of the church. We should at least be able to do our half. And God has called us to be leaders at home and leaders in the church. We need you. Number 11. Somebody read number 11 on the resolution.
I will seek to honor God, be faithful to his church, obey his word, and do his will.
Thank you. Honor God and do his will. Jeremiah 29:9-23 says, Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts about this, that they understand to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these delights I delight, declare the Lord. We honor God by shunning the pride that we have. We get to be wise and we think that we are wise. We get to be wealthy and we think that we've earned it. To honor God means you can't honor yourself. And he also said, number two on this one, faithful to his church. Faithful to church. In fact, Romans 12:1-2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice and pleasing to God. For this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. You see, faithfulness to church, that is the true worship that we're offering. It's not necessarily singing a song on Sunday. Because what is worship? Turning our hearts to God. And how do you do that? By being faithful to the church that God has called us to be. We are a part of the body of Christ. And men, we need you to be a part of the body of Christ. And then last one, number 12.
I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for his glory.
Amen. Trust God's strength through the Holy Spirit. The resolution doesn't use the word Holy Spirit, but I wanted to add it because I want you to know that it is not your strength. We can't do this. But God empowers us with the Holy Spirit to do these things. Ephesians 3 reminds us, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, listen to this, according to his power that is at work within us. Whose power? His power. It's not that I have the strength. I don't. I'm powerless. And that's the whole point. When I get to this point to where I say, I cannot do it, Spirit, you've got to give me the strength to stand. He says, according to his power that is worked within us. We need to be seeking this guidance all the time. Seeking the power of the Spirit. Seeking the leading of the Spirit to be able to trust God. And then the last part there is glorifying God with my life. At the end of Ephesians 3, verse 21, it says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. We have to actually refuse the credit. If you want to serve the church, we need your help. But we don't need your help walking around saying, hey, I did this. I did that. Hey, look what I did. You know, at the minute we put the word I in there, God is just steps out of the room. He loses all the glory. Look, I praise God for what he did this week in various ways around here. And I want to make sure you know that I know that he knows that he did it. You know, one of the great hymns of the church was written by William Merrill. And it's a challenge in 1911. Yeah, are you ready? And a lot of people don't like this hymn because it's not politically correct anymore. Okay? But they don't understand what Merrill was going through and what he was doing. I got to find my words. There it is. But you've heard this hymn before. It's called Rise Up, O Men of God. You heard that hymn before? Well, you know, that's not politically correct anymore. Matter of fact, a lot of people say they're changing the word in the new hymnal to Rise Up, O Saints of God, because they say that it's derogatory to women, and I say no. Because I'm telling you, men, it's okay to realize we have a job to do, just like the ladies do. Next week, we'll talk about what the women are to do. You have a job in your family, in your community, in this church. You have a place, a very sacred place. But so do we. As men, cowards blame, but leaders take responsibility. He says in this beautiful hymn, Rise up, O men of God. Have done with these lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God. His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O men of God. The church for you doth wait. Her strength is so unequal to the task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ. Tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God. That's a good word. That's a good word, men. We need to rise up. Where are you, men of courage? Where are you, men of courage? We need us to be men, men of God. We need us to be husbands, husbands of God, fathers of God that lead this nation, this church, and our family to the kingdom of God. I challenge us, men. I challenge us, men, to grab a hold to some of this. Take this resolution home and sign it with your name and put it on your mirror. Begin to claim it. And walk in it. It's totally based on Scripture, I believe. And it's something powerful for us to remember every single day. Father God, I just pray for the men and the women here. I just pray, Lord, for this message today. I just pray we would take responsibility for who you have made us to be. I pray that we could say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the kind of courage that we need. Courage like Joshua. to stand up and be counted, to be watchful and committed and brave, strong over time, willing to give our lives away instead of being so self-centered. Father, you've called us to lead our home and our community and our church. I pray that we would rise up as men of God. And Lord, I pray for those men and women who have never said yes to Jesus, trying to walk this world on their own. Maybe they're feeling like this seems unrealistic and seems impossible. And it is without Christ. There's no way that you can live a right life without Jesus Christ in your heart. I pray, Lord, today your Holy Spirit would convict them, that they would come forward and let me lead them in prayer and begin their process of discipleship today. Lord, today is the day when you can change any life. Cowards blame. Leaders take responsibility. Today is a good day to take responsibility for your future. Let's stand as we sing this last song together. I want this altar to be open as the Lord leads you through this song. Let's sing and pray.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. Let's sing this together. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Child of God, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. 'Cause you split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowning. Child of God, oh, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. You drowned my fears in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God. Let's sing this together, church. 'Cause I am a child of God. Oh, I am a child of God. child of God. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I'm a child of God.